All right. Judge righteously. Judge righteously. This is important, too, because, like I said, understand this. You want pure and the correct guidance. Jesus says he is the what? Right. The way, the truth, and the light. I don't know what somebody else said, but way, the truth, and the light. Okay? So he is, okay, whatever he said, I hope he said it right. But what I was looking for was the way, he said author. Author. Okay, well, that's right. He's the author of our perfection, of our faith. But, yeah, he's the way, the truth, and the light. And he's also the word. So the Bible is our guidance on when we need to know something. What man has done is he became so intelligent, he said, oh, I think I can figure this out. Oh, I think I can do this. You know what I mean? I watched one of my grandbabies, and bless her heart, but she means well. But you don't know how many times she'll do something first, and then, you know, when she messed up, then her mom gets mad at her and says, but you just didn't do what I told you to do. And I say that to her over and over again. I know you're trying to impress that you really know what you're doing, but just do what you're told. Same thing with us Christians. I think we run and think we're doing stuff righteously, thinking the outcome should turn out a certain way, get mad at God. We do things based on us instead of going, let me check with what God is saying. It should almost, the reference should be, he said this, I'm doing it. He said this, I'm not adding to it, not taking away. That's going to be the one he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You're going to have somebody that overdid it and just worked himself to death, and he's going to get it, okay, that's good. Oh, wait, did I do all this? Did I ask you to do all that? You understand it? Okay? You went overwhelmed. You will probably wore yourself out. And the thing I wanted you to do, you spent little time on because you were busy doing all this stuff I didn't tell you to do. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? Even, I remember as a pastor, like I said, I had all this set up where I'm going to do this and go visit, that and go visit. And I saw my main responsibility. I said, first and most of all, that has to be taken care of to its fullness before I would do anything else. So if I started, well, I can't do this because I got to do this other project, I got to do this other thing, I'm taking away from what the thing I'm responsible for doing. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? And we're held accountable for that. So in the same way, judging righteously, the only way we know if we're truly doing it is if we're checking with what God says. That's the way you're going to only know when you're fully doing it the right way. Not I have a feeling, not I saw somebody else do it, and not about outcomes. Please be careful on outcomes. So we have to. So that's where we last left off, under it, where it said let God provide the definition, correct? Okay, so let me, I gotta get back to my clothes. Here we go. Okay, yeah, so let God provide. And hopefully as you went through this, hopefully you guys were studying this. But we have to let God be the definition. And so it's down, I don't know what page it's on, but 3, okay. So down where it says, let God provide the definition and act accordingly. It says in Psalm 82, 3 through 4, it says, defend the cause of the weak and fatherless, maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed, rescue the weak and needy, deliver them from the hands of the wicked. Now, why did I do that? Why did I put the darkness? Because we're in a world today where politics are changing how we're to treat people. They're changing it in a way that we're changing laws, we're changing how we treat people, we're changing how we define people. You're still held accountable for what God says. As it says in Acts, we must obey God over man. You know, understand that. So be careful not to get caught up with somebody when they make an excuse not to do this. When he goes, defend the cause of the weak, the Bible tells us who the weak are. And in many cases, we don't. In many cases, we watch people that are truly weak. We get caught up by people that you see on the roads holding signs, and they may not be the ones that are weak. And you see some people that are truly weak, and there's no defense from us. In fact, there are sometimes, I'm going to give you an example. We'll go, part of when people say they're going to the thing to fight for babies or not born, and that's partially right. That is a part of it. So when they're saying they're fighting, so there are no abortion rights, that's rightfully so. That plays a part in it. But it also goes for the poor who really have no say. When you don't fight for them, you're not fighting for the weak as well. Also, please understand. So they both play in the same way. You can't say, well, I'm doing it for one, can't do it for both. Y'all hear where I'm coming from. It says, defend the cause of the weak, plain and simple. Then it goes into, and the fatherless. Do you understand that? So you're going to see people without a provider. So that becomes our responsibility. You have kids, you have people that are growing up, and that goes to the poor also. Okay? And that's where he hits maintain the rights of the poor. Why is DLC maintain the rights of the poor? Pay close attention to politics throughout the world. Only the wealthy really win. Only the wealthy really win. They restructure government that makes the poor people feel great for having a vote, and your vote is downright meaningless. You have no say. In fact, I'll give you a good example, and we see the whole thing going on with this whole Weinstein gentleman. Well, he's really not a gentleman, but the things that he did. But do you understand? And the problem with that whole entire thing is the reason why a lot of people would not sue him is because the amount of money he had. There's no way you're going to get, and this happens with corporations as well, you can't win. You don't have, it's not until we got this outcry that the government comes in and then they take them in now. Only because this outcry happened. But people have been saying this against them for how many years? Do you understand that? In other words, they were poor and they were weak. But they had a case. But they wouldn't get no lawyer that would say, I'm not going up against him. He'll have multiple lawyers, he'll put us out of business, he'll do this. And this happens to the poor and the weak all the time. That's a Christian's responsibility. Y'all get where I'm coming from? Christians are supposed to stand up for those. I told you when I was at work the one time, and they changed the work code, and I was part of the board who makes the rules, the work clothing. What they were saying on the look was right. It would look good if they all wore blah, blah, blah. However, I knew what they were getting paid. So it was myself, and there was another lady there who argued, but what about these people? They have, you know, they have just enough money to buy for clothes. And now we're going to tell them they have to change their whole wardrobe so we look nice. And of course, everybody else was like, well, they have to learn how. And that's just the way the world's on. And we just kept fighting in it because our votes, it didn't happen. They were mad at us for it, but I couldn't. Now, it didn't affect me because I didn't have to change. I didn't have, but my job, that was my responsibility. Do you understand? That's my, and the same thing with yours. So sometimes we have to be careful. Sometimes when you make a decision or a vote, is it just for your own ideology, or are you following what God says? So maintain the rights of the poor. So sometimes marches or standing up, sometimes, please be careful, some of these marches are a little dangerous, but we have to maintain the rights of the poor and the oppressed. Okay? If it's a group of people that are being oppressed, it could be a situation that are being oppressed, you know what I mean? We have to maintain their rights. You understand? Even I'm going to give you a good example here. No, leave it alone. But even in both cases, the rights of the poor and the oppressed, we have to make sure that we are their voice. That's part of it. Rescue the weak and the needy. Keyword, the weak and the needy. The Bible tells us who the weak and the needy are. They're not the greedy and the lazy. Please don't mistake the two. You understand that? So one way you can find out, and I know some people are saying, we're seeing a lot more of these guys on the street, like I said, with signs saying, please give me money, and so on and so forth. Go to McDonald's or something, buy them a bag of food. Give them a bottle of water. It's not hurting anything. If it's good and they need to eat, they'll eat. You understand? I would refer more to doing that. Because there are a lot more scams, unfortunately. But then what if some of them are not? You understand? And some people are like, I'm torn. But it's much easier to give them some money, right? So what if I'm not feeding their drug habit or allowing them to stay out there? But if I just give them some food, maybe put some scripture in there? You never know. Is it inconvenient? Now I gotta go to the store and gotta get this and I gotta get the baby size and I gotta do all this stuff. Yeah, that's inconvenient. But that's part of what we're supposed to do. So when the basics is rescue the weak and the needy, it's not me just giving them the fish. This is where that terminology, even though it's not in the Bible, instead of giving a man the fish, teach him how to fish, something like that. Do you understand that? So in other words, what are we going to help them? So even what we've seen that happened down there when the people were coming across, I'm not saying to open up and allow all of the immigrants over, because that would overwhelm them. We wouldn't be able to do that. But it's our responsibility as Christians to go, okay, what are we going to do to help make these people's lives better? And some people, we're an American, we can do it. There's stuff we can do. First of all, prayer. Okay. Second of all, how much food can we send to a certain area? Let's say if we start a park down in Mexico. You have Christians out in Mexico that can set up certain camps and say, okay, y'all stop here. We're going to feed you. We're going to take care of you for time. You know what I mean? And then we'll figure out how to go about it the right way. There's ways of maintaining and doing stuff where we're rescuing them. It's our responsibility. And it says, deliver them from the hand of the wicked. This is our responsibility directly from God as Christians. So when you judge, please be careful not to follow the world's way when we keep closing a blind eye. I showed y'all. You have a question? Yes.
How does it work with the government attacking the benefits of senior citizens right now? Does that become the responsibility of church to help people with their medical bills on a regular basis? if they can't afford medical benefits or housing, et cetera?
Absolutely. First and most of all, utilize the government the best they can. Don't depend on the government. Like, don't depend on voting, don't depend on the government. When I say utilize them, they should be the ones going as the voice for them. So it shouldn't just take, in other words, let's say they're, like, they're going against the elderly. And that's where healthcare really drives them crazy, because, like I said, their healthcare and their finances, because medicine is ridiculous. And we're kind of closing a blind eye to them. And you have a lot of elderly, and they're going to have to take a lot of medicine. They're living a lot longer. So they shouldn't just see a lot of elderly down there going into the congressman's office. It should be Christians going down there to Congress. Once again, prayer. Secondly, the churches should look for other ways of saying, how can we help you maintain and take care of it? So finances is going to help them. But once again, not just doing it, because the church will run out of money in that sense as well. So it's a combination of looking at this and going, hey, they're part of who God told us we're supposed to look out for, not people who do that. Now, a lot of people who are rich, this is a huge part of their ministry based on the Bible. I understand that. Okay, people who are rich, he's letting them know, and when they don't, they're going to be held accountable for that. Does that make sense? Everybody get that? And the reason why I'm pushing this, like I said, is because we have to understand this is what God is telling us to do. You know, these are things that we are responsible for doing. When he says to follow these, this is our constituents, as the Bible way put it. Okay, that's who God's going to look at and say, okay, let me go to Matthew 25, don't do it now, but Matthew 25, when he says, when you look after these, when you went to jail, look after these, look after those who are in the hospital, those who were strangers, and he says, whatever you do for the least of these you've done for me, the ones who didn't do it, where'd they go? If you read it, they went to hell. The ones who did it, went to hell. Do you understand that? He made it very clear. And we ignore that and go, well, that's works, no? He's saying the ones who are truly Christians, it will be displayed in your work. So if you're truly a Christian, you're going to give to the ones that God said, because you're going to be obedient to Christ. Make sense? Everybody got that? Okay? So make sure we keep this in mind. Our judgment has to be based on God, not based on the world. And understand, you can never be the purpose or foundation of your judgment. Never. And I'll explain what this means. Watch this. Philippians 2, 3 through 4. Do nothing. Everybody say nothing. What does nothing include? All things. So do nothing out of selfish ambition and vain conceit. Let me stop here. Now, I've had people come to me passionately about a topic, and the answer they gave me, they were 100% right, but their purpose, 100% wrong. Y'all catch that? Now, some say, well, at least they asked the right thing. You know, be careful, because as they went on, they ignored some other things they should have been as passionate about. Do you know what I mean? And they said some other things that had nothing to do with God. The part of it is, purpose means so much in your life. You understand that? And a purpose can never, everybody say never, be solely you. Never, ever. You understand that? We usually react based on the us factor, and it can never be us. Because that's why, like I say, bringing up politics again, the most dangerous thing, I think all of us are passionate about certain things in politics, correct? And if you're being honest, are you passionate just because of God? And I wish I could say yes, and I'm telling you no. Some of it was stuff I like, stuff I feel more powerful about, stuff I enjoy more, stuff I can relate to more, and then some God. You understand that? And this is what most people are. You have very few to none, and I'm seeing more none, that have a full, this is 100% God while I'm doing this. So when he says do nothing, this is what every Christian should do. It should never be based on how I see it and what I want. Now, am I included in it? Yes. Watch this. It says, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. The considering part doesn't just mean consider that they're right, even though that's a part of it. It means I have to take others into consideration. Does that make sense? Even though I think I have it all figured out, you said, yeah, but I'm going to go this way. I have to take that into consideration. And consider it, that may be the right answer. It makes you listen. Makes you think about them. And that's why it says, each of you should look not only at your own interest. So, when, like, you're getting ready to do something, you just don't go, well, I'm hungry for blah, 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 who wants some of the same thing. You check with everybody. Some people go, see, that's why I'm like asking everybody, because then I got to ask everybody, and I got to take an order, and they don't want one, and I want a Chinese food, but they want a pizza. Every Christian should go, even though I want a Chinese food, and they want pizza, I guess we're having pizza. I'm never getting Chinese food, which is an amen. Right? You look at others, and that's the Christian mentality is supposed to be that. I'm looking at others before myself. Never just me. That's another one of those pruning things, System Arvin, as we were asking earlier. He'll put you in situations where you have a choice. Now, you can just say, well, that's what I want, right? I always told you, when people get in my car, my radio is off usually. Why? Because I don't want people to be offended or not, or whatever my music, you get where I'm coming from. But they may like it, may not like it, so on and so forth. So I don't want to be an issue. You got what I'm coming from? So the radio goes off. That's just something I do. I'm not saying everybody, you must turn off your radio or you're going to go to hell. No. We're saying, I'm considering them. Now, some will go, it's my car. They better listen to what I'm playing. I'm sure none of you have that mentality, right? Or I'm turning air on when I want to, or turning heat on when I want to. Or do you go, how do you feel, or are you doing it based on you? Amen? Can never be based on you. Understand, selfish ambition and envy, remember he said, are the two worst things. Selfish ambition, and look for that, that's in James. If you go to James, he's a selfish ambition and severe envy or something like that. He said those two things are very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. And unfortunately, we're very much a nation like that. We're a people that have these mentalities. So we can do nothing based on us. So our judgment can't be based on me. That's why I try not to be driven by how I feel. There's a lot of ways I feel about stuff. But man, if I can't find it in the Bible, I usually try to hold off. Because I feel strong about a lot of stuff. And I go, oh, I can't say nothing. You understand? Because it's fully based on me. Amen? I got to take me out the solution. And in other words, the only way I can fully, powerfully give it is, Jesus said that exact thing. He said, you'll never hear my opinion. Only thing you'll hear is what I get from the Father. And I stand with him on what he says. Y'all get that? Jesus Christ is saying that. If anybody else can get up there and have his own opinion, of course he could. He said, nope, you will not hear from me. But we still do. We think we're equal with God. I'm going to give it to you. Me and God are on the same page. Be careful of that. Amen? And also, the godly purpose to judge others has to be for their godly benefit. Not because they're getting on your nerves. Not because you want to use it as ammunition against them. Not because it's going to do something to make them stop bothering you. In other words, it can't be based on you. It says in Romans 15, verse 2, each of us should please his neighbor, watch this, for his good. Who's good? No, who's good? God's good. Thank you. Okay, that's right. It's for his good. Okay? So it's for his godliness. It says to build him up. So I don't do it for his desire, I do it for his good. You got where I'm coming from? So my pleasing, you know, I'm not doing it for what you want, I'm doing it for what's best for you in the Lord. Please understand, what's best for you, not what you think is best for me. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? There was a guy who was a weight trainer, and he would go to people, and you don't need to eat that, you don't need to eat that. Sounds great, he might even be right, but that's based on him, or some book he read. Y'all get where I'm coming from? Okay? And that's nice. He can make a suggestion and say, maybe you shouldn't eat that, maybe that's fine. But he was telling them no. I mean, almost like it was gospel. Now, was it for their own good? He might say, yeah, Pastor, he was looking out for their health based on him. And there's nothing wrong with him saying, I've learned from what stuff I do, but is he doing it the same way when it comes to the Word of God? Y'all see where I'm coming from? Are you doing it based on their godliness, or are you looking out for what your opinion of them is? 95 to 100% of the time, you're wrong. Even though what you may be saying may be a good, remember it says physical training is of some value, but godliness is value for all things for now and the things to come. So sometimes when we look out for people, we give advice on us instead of on God, and we miss an opportunity. We miss an opportunity. Amen? Okay, keep that in mind, because we do that a lot of times. We'll think we're giving good advice, and we're giving our advice. And that's a dangerous place to be. Then it says, know the difference between indisputable and disputable decisions. Okay? As it shows us in Romans 14, 1 to 4, it says, accept him. Now, catch this. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. Now, when a faith is weak is when I do something that the Bible doesn't say I have to do, but it's still within the boundaries of God. In other words, it has nothing to do with my salvation. That's why it says on one man's faith allows him to eat everything. So that guy's fine because his faith is based on the Bible. That's why it just said his faith. But watch this. But another man whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. So this guy, even though the Bible tells us we can eat everything, he's still going, I just can't see eating one of God's creatures. And God's like, that's not going to send him to heaven or hell. If he doesn't want to eat meat, don't let him eat. You got where I'm coming from? Accept him. Go, got it. So what that means is, if they ask, if they come and ask you, hey, is it okay if I eat meat? Isn't that going against God? He's asking a question. By all means, answer him based by truth, using sound doctrine. But if he goes, I struggle with eating meat of anything, you go, okay. Yes.
How do Seventh-day Adventists get around this scripture?
They get around a whole bunch of scripture. When Ellen G. White and her husband took over, after the founder founded, I can't remember his name, but after they took over, it was just another one, like a lot of the cults. Well, see, now, we don't really call Seventh-day Adventists because if you notice, that's one of the things they use. The danger is, which curbs them, is there's another verse in the Bible, and I'll show you, watch this, if you go here real quick. And this is what bothers me about it, if you, because even though we don't call them that, sometimes they fall under certain things that the Bible does call it. Go to 1 Timothy 4. I'm going to start in verse 1. So even though it's an indisputable matter, and the problem with it is, what makes it wrong for the church to do it is you're making a sacred command. Okay? So there's a difference. If people said, I don't want to eat meat, that's fine. If I get up there and make a command in the pulpit, this church doesn't eat meat, now we have a problem. Does that make sense? And watch what it says here in 1 Timothy 4, starting verse 1. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. And look at the examples we use. Some teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. So now that, you know what I mean, that shakes them up as, okay, Seventh-day Adventists, are they cold or not? And we accept them because of their belief in Christ, period. But they have other beliefs that this one is kind of curving towards. So it's one of those I just had to show you. And if you notice, the first one kind of leads another one. Which another group did that one, the first one? Forbid people to marry. Catholics. Yeah. Yep. And we struggle with them as well. So that's a whole other thing. We'll talk about that in a future thing. But this kind of shows you. So they're wrong. And they are going to be held accountable for that, especially the leaders of that church, because they're teaching the wrong things. And he even said, it's not taught by God. Amen? Even though food is not what's going to get us in heaven and hell, which the Bible says, when we go back to Romans 14, if I teach it as sacred and God didn't teach it as sacred, this is what puts us, I'm talking about me as a pastor, in a huge position where I say, please check me, that I'm not getting this wrong. When you check me, I know I'm staying in the Word. But you have a lot of them that start making rules. God doesn't take that light at all. At all. In fact, there was one verse that said if they teach another gospel, they're condemned to hell. He said, if myself or an angel does it, and he repeated it. You understand that? God's not going to go, well, you know, they had a tough job and they were frustrated. No, this is God's word. We have to, it has to be sacred. Does it make sense? Amen? Okay. So going back to that one, back to the page. In verse 3, it says, the man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. So he's telling the person in the church who has weak faith, who really didn't read everything yet, not to beat up somebody for not eating meat. And the person who has a strong faith is not to condemn the man or look down on the man, you're really not a Christian, who doesn't eat meat. You understand? Hopefully in learning that one weak faith will grow up. But don't let that be a thing where you separate or cause a problem. A minute. It says, God has accepted him. It says, who are you to judge someone else's servant? That's what it's saying. Indisputable matters. You may, like I said, that goes with drinking. It goes with listening to music. It goes watching television. You know, you get something, I don't watch that. All sounds great. Don't watch it then. Now, don't walk around and act like God's going to go, all my non-television people will come here. Because remember, they tried to do the same thing with Jesus. He's hanging out with the tax collectors and the sinners. That was a huge no-no. And Jesus was like, it's the sick that needs the doctors. Do you understand that? And one reason why a lot of Christians sometimes when they go to what we call sanctified areas is we become so cleansed or sanitized, as I put it, that not only we're supposed to confront the world, we have no idea how to handle it. And you ever know sometimes Christians, when they get around the world, they become very awkward, socially awkward. You understand? You homeschool your child and keep them out in the world, and then you push them out there. Now go, minister to them. So, you know, we're supposed to be the light in the world, not the ones that look timid. Does everybody understand? We're supposed to display Christ. So how can I win them if I don't know them? Amen? Okay, but I'm saying be very careful with that. Don't use that as a license to sin. You're still accountable. But I have to understand it in order to minister to them. Okay? Following what his word says, it shows us that. It says, to his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Amen? Finally, we'll close up on these last. I don't know, we got a bunch. I'm going to stop. Come on, we got 1 more hour. We only got. All right, we'll stop. Fortunately, it's one of them holidays falling in the middle of the week, so people got to go to work tomorrow, so we will stop. And any questions?
Still Wednesday. We still have to go to work tomorrow.
Not if it was a Friday Bible study system. Consider me before you get your answer. Okay, no, I'm sorry. All right. Let's pray.